Hey, everybody, welcome to the River Valley Podcast. My name is Kirk Graham, and back again is Pastor Logan Ketterling.
Hey, part of my role is to be gone and to travel and do events with the network, and so I had a lot of events in the last week.
I'm not hating on it. I actually love it. And tell everybody what you've been up to the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've been in, I can't even remember where I've been. I've been in three different cities. Was in Florida hosting a golf event. And then was in Springfield, Missouri, went to a men's conference. For some people, they've seen some of the drama from that conference.
We can talk about that briefly coming up. But then where were you most recently?
And then I was in Dallas the beginning of this week, and we hosted a Generosity Accelerator on Tuesday and just got back, and it was great. We had just
it was
under,
great, just but apparently, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
The kid. Apparently, we had just under 200 pastors there.
That's so awesome. North Texas?
Yeah, in North Texas and Dallas. So,
what was the church you were at?
Life Fellowship Church. Pastor Chris and Tatum. He actually, maybe both of them, but I know Chris did. Went to North Central.
You said both of them, Chris and Tatum.
His wife Tatum.
Oh, her name is Tatum.
Yeah, her name.
I thought that was their last name.
No.
Never met a Tatum before.
Yeah, their last name is Lindbergh, but they have a great church in McKinney, Texas, and part of our network. And
North Central grad?
Yeah, he's a North Central grad. Huh. Yeah.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
And that was good. Pastor Rob was there. I felt like there was a lot of our team down there.
There was. So one of the things that we try to do is we want to get members of our team on these events because You may say, well, they know this stuff. And part of that's true, but we actually find that a lot of people who attend go, wow, there are things that I learned even just seeing that. And we talked about this on the podcast before, but Pastor Rob, in addition to being a local church pastor here, has just an anointing on his life in training other pastors and training leaders. And I think it is important for people on our team to see that and experience that. And so, you know, we have River Valley Conference coming up, and there's a lot of people at the church that serve at River Valley Conference, and they see Pastor Rob just in a new way. And I think it's important to see him that is a part of the call that is on his life, is to help train pastors and leaders. And so we try to bring as many team members as we can, and we have it actually all sponsored by other people. So we actually aren't spending church dollars doing that. We're actually the other sponsors that are taking care of it help pay for those costs. So it's a kind of a win-win to have people experience that and also have those sponsors take care of the costs.
And it's helping our team understand the extension of our local church. What is the extension of our local church? Which, by the way, it reminds me, and these are free, by the way, paying for the staff, that's sponsored by somebody else. But the people that attend, it's free. Every Generosity Accelerator, any pastor that wants to come. But I was wondering, we're doing one in Minnesota this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in October.
October. I wonder if Pastor Rob would be open to inviting some of our just business leaders, congregation mm-hmm. members, for them to get a glimpse of that as well. So
I actually think that is a goal of his.
And yeah.
So, yeah, I'll find out the date in a second.
You heard it here first, October, that we've got a Generosity Accelerator in Minnesota that you may be able to attend, and so we'll get details, but that's a little bit of a save the date, and I love that we get to do that. And
October 8th at Apple Valley campus.
All right. Oh, we are hosting. Yeah, great.
Yeah, it'd kind of be weird.
I didn't know if it was like a district event.
Josh Stebbins is already registered.
Oh, Josh Stebbins is registered. Perfect. I'm glad. So if you want to see Josh, if you want to hang with Josh, you can sign up. No, we'll figure out a way to get that to leaders in our church that may want to attend. And I think attending a Generosity Accelerator is not just good for churches. It's good for individuals, like building your personal generosity, but also what I said earlier is business leaders, like changing or growing the culture of your company, the generosity of the culture of your company, because it's not just about money. Right? The Generosity Accelerator.
Yeah, it's culture mostly.
It is the culture and the value of generosity in everything that we do. Like one example that I always share with people, like, what do they talk about? One of the things that they talk about is how Pastor Rob writes a handwritten birthday card to every pastor's kid with a little $30 Walmart gift card. And for 9 years in a row, my daughters received a handwritten birthday card from Pastor Rob. And we got a lot of pastor's kids. Mm-hmm. At our church. So he's writing a ton of cards, and he does more than that anniversary. But that is one bullet point of generosity, the value of generosity. So we don't need to talk long, but is that your fourth one this year? We just got into quarter two.
Yeah, it's either third or fourth. I can't quite. I know we did Alabama. Yeah. We've done Arkansas. So I think third. And then we have two more in the month of May.
Colorado's coming up.
Yep. So we have New York and Colorado. And
you guys
May.
Need to make tour t-shirts, man. I'm serious. Like a band.
So that was our 27th in Dallas. Our 27th we've done in the last 3 years.
No way.
It's crazy.
That is insane. What was your favorite one? Sorry, we're just hanging out. Generosity Accelerator.
I mean, Hawaii was pretty sweet.
Hawaii?
Yeah. They actually had a
Alaska
really good
attendance. Looked cool.
Alaska was really cool too. I mean, those states, they're like the coolest states. I don't know that I would live there because it's really far from the mainland, yeah. But to visit, there's no two better states in my opinion to visit than Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah, Montana. That's my personal opinion, but. Yeah.
But I mean, Alaska and Montana have similarities like with mountains. And.
Okay, so you were at a men's conference and a stronger men's conference and to be honest, we don't have to get like what would you call it?
The tea.
The birds are chirping.
Oh yeah.
I'm just yeah, the tea. Yeah. Yeah, what's it? Spill the tea? Tip.
So just yeah, I'll give it just
give
a small
some context.
Small and we do have some questions. I want to get to those. But so you may have seen this, you may have not. If you didn't, it's all good. You're probably better off for it. But there's a lot of conversation. I mean, USA Today picked it up. There's all sorts of articles about this event that happened at a men's conference.
That you were sitting in the front row at.
Yeah, that's true. I was invited by a friend.
I can't believe you'd go to such an event. Yeah, I'm just playing.
Their Assembly's Got Church, and they have probably the highest attended men's conference in the country. Around 10,000 guys were there. So,
that's
you know,
crazy.
They do stuff every year. I've never been before, but I just thought, oh, I'll check it out.
They have monster trucks there?
Yeah, they did. They did. So there was this opener moment that was kind of a miss. And if you watch the video, it's like the part they show is like this weird part of it. A guy kind of takes his shirt off and there's a pole there and it kind of like resembles like what ended up happening was the speaker kind of thought, hey, this looked like a stripper pole. It wasn't that. He climbed up it and was like a sword guy and like dropped down. It was more of like an acrobatic thing in the moment. It felt a little weird, but it wasn't like a demonic evil.
When you saw it, you're like, oh, interesting. But you weren't like grieved.
No. I was like, yeah, maybe wouldn't have done that. But also was not like the no guy in the moment, I think beyond a little bit of uncomfortable, was feeling this overwhelming sense of grief. Obviously, Mark, who if you're unfamiliar with Mark, and again, I kind of have like I try to have a balanced view on this because I literally was there and I talked to both these guys. But Mark was grieved in his spirit about it. And then he, in the moment, said, hey, this was wrong. He said some things, again, I don't want to get into all of it, but he said some things that I don't think were fair. But I do think truly his spirit was grieved. Like, I don't think he was lying about that. And then John, the pastor of the conference, kind of shuts him down and says, hey, like, you're done. Like, you can't bring that up without talking to me. He brought up Matthew 18, which I think is more of maybe the right focus that we could talk about. He brought up Matthew 18, like, hey, if a brother sins against you, go to your brother in private, then bring a couple people with you. And then still, if they don't come with you, then tell the church. And then if the church, if they don't change their mind after the church, then, like, basically they're a sinner and leave them. So John brought that up. And then Mark left. And then afterwards, and this moment isn't being shared as much, after that, about 5 minutes later, they both came out and said, hey, we're going to agree to disagree about that, but we want to talk about how we can still be brothers in Christ and have unity together. And
I did see somebody post the 30-minute
yeah.
reconciliation
yeah, it was 30 minutes,
conversation,
yeah.
which didn't make USA Today.
Right, right. And so I think that's the part that's missed that's important. But I also think there's a lot of things just, you know, that I don't want to put anyone on blast or things. I think privately I'm happy to like process through it. I just think externally processing sometimes in public, as we just found out,
yeah,
can be challenging. But you know, some people have brought up, well, I don't know that, and again, if you're unfamiliar with what's happened, sorry for taking so much time, but I do think it's important because it's like being talked about in the church a lot right now. It is important to say, can we agree to disagree? And the importance of an apology. You know, Mark apologized. And for those who don't know who Mark Driscoll is, he's a very controversial figure in the church. Yeah. And so some people have said, hey, if you invite someone super controversial, expect the controversy.
Yeah, which I think James River is also known to do. Is like yeah. They believe that, you know, some of the different people that they brought in are anointed, gifted uniquely for specific reason. And some of those people are a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
On the edge of controversy.
Yeah, John he's been clear about that. He even said that in that 30-minute moment, that he has kind of been that guy for people to bring in voices that even though maybe he doesn't agree with everything, he's willing to do that. And yeah, some yeah. people would say that's unwise. Other people would say that's awesome.
It's his leadership style.
Yeah, it's his style. And so I think that that's an important thing to think about. And you know, I think in hindsight, all of them would have done something differently. And you know, I don't think it was a demonic presence in a conference, although I do see a lot of people posting that. Should it have happened? Maybe not. The other twist in all of it is like the guy, I heard this directly from the source, the guy is a believer, gave his life to Christ about a year and a half ago. So like yeah, even yeah. his past, but again,
which nobody's talking about how that guy feels in all of this.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. And again, like the whole purpose of that was not this guy climbing up a pole and doing a dance. That's not what it was. It was the theme is stronger, and he's this acrobatic guy who can like he's like puts a sword in his mouth. And again, you may say it's weird. I felt it was a little weird, but it wasn't demonic, you know. Yeah. And so again, that's where. I think there's probably could have just been apologies all around. Hey,
yeah, yeah.
We could have handled this differently. It wasn't our intent. But in spite of us, isn't it incredible that even when we make a mistake, God still moves? And yep. hundreds of guys said yes to Jesus. And hundreds of, I mean, literally the moment after the moment after the reconciliation, John said, hey, if you have an issue with a brother in your life and you want this moment to be a catalyst to reconciliation with a brother in your life, would you raise your hand? There had to be 4,000 guys raising their hand. I mean, crazy. You know, and so that to me was like the best moment of the conference. But I knew, you know, I was with a guy, Mike McDonald, and I lean over to him, I go, this is going to become crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like this. So I'm not surprised that social media has taken it and done its own spin. Again, I do think that there should be some like, hey, I apologize, move forward from what it sounds like. They are going to post some more things this weekend about just, hey, here's kind of some more context behind this.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lesson in a lot of areas. I mean, I've texted a lot of pastors, a lot of friends. Again, maybe it's not as big in your world and you haven't heard about it. But
I think part of the reason why I'm kind of bringing up this topic, not just because you were there and because social media is talking about it, but I think they're you could take a situation similar to this that something happens in the workplace or even in your family. And, you know, when's the right time to challenge privately? When's the right time to challenge or rebuke publicly? How, if you're the one being corrected or challenged or rebuked by somebody else, especially if you're the leader in the home or leader in the workplace, how should you carry yourself? I think you got to watch this thing happen, and maybe those leaders would say we both would have done something a little bit different in this situation. But it's like a master class to witness.
Oh my gosh. I don't know that I will learn more than what I did in that time period in the last, you know, 72 hours about yeah. I witnessed something that was crazy. Again, you rarely ever see that in church. And then seeing this context of Matthew 18, other people have said, no, it's more like Galatians where Paul calls out Peter. That's appropriate. You know, if God told you to do it, you should do it. And then other people saying, well, if you're really strong friends with them, wouldn't you? Like the way I've described it is I don't know that it's like if Matthew 18 is necessary here, because I don't think John sinned against Mark. You know, I think it was more an observation that he was making. And Mark tried in his best way to say that, but Mark being such a controversial figure,
yeah.
it's just a part of, I think, John's hesitancy of letting him continue is just, I don't know what's going to happen. But again, you might say, well, why did you invite him? So there's just a lot of thoughts back and forth. But to me, I think it shows if you are a brother or you are a sister or you are a friend, it's important to process some of these things in yes. private. And then also admit that you're wrong. And Mark did apologize. And yep. again, some people say he shouldn't have apologized. I'm trying to be nuanced here because I know everyone has a different understanding of what's going on right now. But I do think that you can learn so much from yep. what happened in the moment, whatever the worst thing, that's what people are going to grab onto.
Yeah.
Because that one moment was in the context of a lot of other things happening. You know, like you said, there was monster trucks, there was this. I think actually a healthy thing that's come out of it is that, do we need that level of production in order to have an amazing conference? And I think if anything, that point is a great point that's being brought up. Not because I think there was any ill intent. I talked to many people who are part of the church that were part of the production. Their heart in it is right.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we need to assess and look at ourselves to say, and again, River Valley as well. I don't want to pick on them. This is just the instance. But we need to think about that at Sparkle Conference, at River Valley Conference, at Youth Conference. Are the creative elements pointing people to Christ or detracting them away? And so I think those are important things that we really are prayerfully consider about, and I'm sure they are as well. And I just think sometimes we miss the mark. We have at River Valley. You know, there's been times where we've missed the mark on it, and I think it's just handling it in humility and saying, we missed the mark. You know, we didn't, that wasn't our intent. We're going to be reflective. And in spite of us, God uses us to do his work. And I think that's the message of everything. In spite of us, God works. Whether you agree with John, whether you agree with Mark, whether you have no idea what we're talking about, whether you look this up later and have an opinion, in spite of us, God moves, and God uses imperfect men and imperfect women to build his church.
Yep.
And that's one of the biggest tensions that you will have the longer you are a follower of Christ, is the tension that God is using imperfect people. And you see pastors that have a moral failure. You see pastors that get in disagreements. You see Christians that fall short. And it cannot change our view of God, because God is clear in his word that he is perfect. But in spite of us, he still does work through us.
Whenever something like this happens in the Christian world, or just in the world in general, I was raised, my dad always said this phrase, don't get on the drama train.
Right.
And maybe you saw this story, or maybe you're hearing about it for the first time, and now you're going to go look up a news article or find out more. The goal is not that you would hop on the drama train and start, you know, chirping on your social media as well and having, you know, judgmental thoughts. It's literally, what lessons can I learn from this personally? How can God grow me through understanding somebody's success or somebody's failure? And I don't need to add any fuel to the social media chatter or fire. And I just, I'm choosing all the time. There's different things like, am I hopping in on this or am I sitting it out? More often than not, choosing, nope, I'm going to be the type of person to not hop on the drama train.
Yeah. And I mean, even for me, like, I've thought about that. And I've had friends that have posted about it and tried to share their perspective. And just for me, I've felt like I have influence in this space. I was there. And I still just feel like I don't know that I want to add to this, because I don't know that it's going to be helpful. But I actually, like, the reason why I like doing this podcast with you, Kirk, and the reason why I like doing Talking Church is I'm unashamed, unafraid to talk about them. I just prefer this context where people can hear my heart in a longer way, where it's not a soundbite or a quick clip or feeling limited by 90 seconds or 60 seconds or whatever. And so I hope people can hear me. And if they're wondering, well, why don't you speak out on things like, you know, some of the controversial topics that you are willing to talk about in a long form. I'm not saying I never will, and maybe I will in the next week, I don't know, on controversial things, but I do try my best to, this format lends itself to, I think, better learning, better healing, better processing. And I think that's helpful for people to hear. They'd like, if I give a 60-second response on why I think, you know, transgender, like, we talked about that, why it's wrong, people may miss the heart of it. But if I talk for a half hour or an hour about it and give people points in both sides, just kind of like what I'm doing right now with this instance, I think that's maybe more beneficial. And that's why I think we are seeing podcasts continue to grow and grow, because the TV media and the social media is how quick can I get this response out to get a firestorm?
Yeah.
And the news is going to give you the one angle that they have. They only have 30 seconds to share that story. Whereas in this case, we can talk about it for as long as is needed.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think like clipping out a podcast, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, you know, you might get a soundbite that is misunderstood or taken out of context, but you know that that's linked to a longer
conversation. Yeah, there's more context. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like taking one verse out of context. Well, there's more verses.
Yeah, we've got the Bible. And which, by the way, we are in just a couple weeks moving this podcast to video.
Woo!
And we might even change the title of this podcast.
I think we will.
And so we haven't made that decision, so I'm not going to say it. But it might move from River Valley Podcast to something else. That way it's giving a little bit more space for weekend messages to be the River Valley Podcast, things that are preached on the weekend. And then this can shift more into kind of what we're talking about today. There's cultural things that people are seeing on social media, news, politics, hot topic issues, theology. And we can talk about what you're seeing day in and day out and maybe having questions about. How do I digest this? Or I saw this about the Stronger Men's Conference. You know, what should I think about it? Should I hop on this bandwagon or that bandwagon? And we'd like to talk about the things. I feel like this is an example, Logan, of a healthy conversation processing something we saw on social media and that you saw firsthand in person.
Right.
And trying to continue to have those pastors' best interests in mind and yeah, just praying that we're all learning and growing from that. So
awesome. Jack and Ader, the man, the question asker.
He keeps coming with heater questions.
Oh, man. I love Jack. What is your Sunday pre-service routine?
You want to go?
Yeah, I'm a part of Lakeville, and so for me, I get there. I've been at Apple Valley more recently, but you know, I'll get up in the morning. I'll brush my teeth.
Good to get up. Yeah, yeah. You know, start
a shower.
There, yeah. I think that's what he was looking for.
No, I get to church before rally, and I'm you know praying, doing my soap in the morning.
Yeah.
Checking in with the team, checking in to make sure I need to do anything. I'll usually be at Saturday night at Apple Valley.
Yep.
Sometimes we're pre-hosting. That's another thing. We might start pre-hosting actually at all campuses, which yep. If you don't know what that means, basically we do a pre-host for online. So checking in with Ellie, who oversees our online, with pre-hosting, making sure we're good there. And then team rally and jumping in. So I don't know that I have like a super strong routine. I know it depends on where I'm going to be. Sometimes I'm at Apple Valley, sometimes I'm at Lakeville, other times I'm other places. But
well, and you're sharing from the perspective we're both central employees.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's probably better to get like a campus staff member.
And I can definitely explain like most campus teams, and then also on my rotation because I'll go from campus to campus. Every campus is a little bit different, but here's what it could look like at a bunch of our different campuses is the staff usually meet together first. A lot of them actually go grab coffee together before even getting to the campus.
Like about 6
and so that they're
or...
they're kind of waking up together. Some of them meet at 5:30, some 6, some 7, depending if they're set up, tear down, things like that. We've got interns that are invited to be a part of that. And some campuses run like a little bit of an intern rally. And I don't know if that's the best terminology, but it's to kind of talk ministry, answer questions, a little bit of leadership development, and then also say, here's what the day looks like. Here's what we're announcing. Here's the handouts that need to be on chairs. Here's how we're going to set up. And then from the coffee shop, or if they're already at the campus, they all drive in together. They're there and kind of get as much of the building set as possible, not doing the serve team jobs, but you know, they're not like brewing coffee because the cafe team, like what are they going to do when they get there? But it could be like straightening out chairs. It could be putting out some handouts. It could be, you know, setting out some waters for the first couple rows. You know, there's a bunch of different things that can be done. Just making sure the building's ready. There's a lot that happens in the kids wing also, setting up the kids wing that our kids volunteers, they're not going to get there that early to maybe turn around the entire room to make it look like a, like, you know, on Super Bowl Sunday, we kind of transform the elementary room. And that's a really great place for interns and staff to do that.
Well, and depends on the campus too. I mean, Lakeville and like Maple Grove and
they're setting up
the weekend and Chaska. And so you have that, and then you have other campuses that have their own building. And so, you know, the timings of that are different. And then I mentioned team rally too, you know, like.
Yeah, 30 or 40 minutes before service is team rally. You can explain that.
Yeah, so all of our serve teams who are serving in different areas, we come together and we just take a moment to get ready, get our hearts ready, celebrate together. We share kind of, hey, here's the announcements for the week. We want our leaders to know so that it's not just us sharing it from the stage. The people are talking about, hey, have you signed up to get water baptized? We saw amazing baptisms happen this last weekend. Baptisms never get old, which that's another thing that we could talk a long time about, which is just incredible to see.
Yeah.
But we'll share announcements, and then we'll share kind of a like an inspirational word, like, hey, this is what God has been speaking to me this morning. Usually the campus pastor or one of the pastors on the team. I love how sometimes Alba Valley will give the kids, and they'll say, hey, Club 45 is taking it over. The fourth and fifth graders, they're leading this moment, and they do an awesome job.
Yep.
And then ending with worship and prayer.
Yep.
And just getting our posture, our heart ready. Of course, we have the expectation that other people, you're getting that ready yourself, but it's just a way to unify together. And then all the serve teams will go to their spots and their roles. And then oftentimes, if anyone's doing a stage moment, we'll do a quick 5-minute production meeting to say, all right, let's just verify right before service, because we do sometimes change
everybody
things
know what
up.
They're doing, yeah.
Who's doing what? Yep. You know, you're doing prayer for needs moment, you're doing the offering. You're closing the service, making sure our production team knows what that is. We have the right slide support and everything. So those are all just kind of some back end things. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add.
Well, just saying, the goal is that we're ramping up. So by the time the first song goes, we've been slowly ramping up the energy, the expectation, the faith in the room, from coffee with staff and interns to all of the volunteers. And what we usually say is, we as leaders, we set the temperature. So we're not, and I don't know who came up with this, but we are not thermometers, we're thermostats.
Right.
So we're setting at a team rally, let's sing this chorus together and let's set the temperature of faith, high expectation. God's going to move. This is not a normal Sunday. This is not mundane. We're believing for the miraculous. New people are coming. Some people are going to come experience church for the very first time. And we're just building that faith expectation. So we don't come and say like, let's just test, you know, let's be the thermometer and see what it feels like. Let's see if today's going to be a good day. We're setting the expectation that today is going to be an amazing Saturday or Sunday or Monday. City's got a Monday night service now. That's just a separate announcement, but that's our pre-service routine. Great question.
Tally's 23 says, do you know if River Valley will make a campus farther north? Blaine, Coon Rapids, Anoka, etc.
Nice. Well, I'll just tell you what I know. We have a heart to have 20-minute drive times throughout the Twin Cities, and with the 11 campuses that we have, and what that means is wherever you're at in the Twin Cities, can you get to a River Valley location or campus within 20 minutes? And so with the 11 campuses we have, we basically can do that. There's a couple holes in the Twin Cities depending on how far you actually go out. One hole is up in the White Bear Lake area. Shoreview, I think, Anoka, like what she said, there's a little bit of a gap there, as well as I believe it's Hudson. So like if you went just a little bit further east of the Twin Cities, maybe there's an area over there. I will say in launching Maple Grove, Chaska, and Lakeville just in the last 2 years, we have spread ourselves thin, not too thin, but, in a way that's like, let's grow what we have. Let's fill our auditoriums. Let's fill our services. Not just launching those three campuses, but when Pastor Rob was asking all of our campuses to add extra services. And so now it's like, let's grow what we have. But I could see us in the next few years maybe launching one and maybe two locations somewhere in the areas that were just mentioned.
Well, what's crazy is, you know, Pastor Rob shared briefly about how, and he's going to share more about this, but he shared it at Apple Valley, not on video, but he shared it at one of the other services that wasn't recorded, about some of the tension that has come from his message. And he's going to address more of that here in the future, from his message about standing for religious freedom. And what's crazy to me, so he does that message, you know, a lot of people are angry about it and frustrated. Hopefully people in our church are supportive of it. I know that many have reached out to me and just said, hey, tell your dad how much, you know, we appreciate that. But the weekend after that message, we had, I think this was our highest attended weekend we've had, if I'm not mistaken, since COVID.
8,600?
No, it was more than that.
More than that. Yeah, I don't know.
But I think highest attended weekend, like on a non-holiday like weekend. And so, yeah, I think it was like just under 9, wasn't it? But anyways, I just think it's funny how people are like, we're coming after you. And then more people show up to church.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. And hundreds of baptisms.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, and baptism weekends are always highly attended, and we love doing that. And one more question here, and then we will close in prayer. Gina asks, good commentaries for Bible study.
Good question. A couple quick ones that are just super easy would be, I love the Fire Bible. It has some commentary footnotes throughout the Bible. That's kind of a sub organization within the Assemblies of God that we agree with. Fire Bible is a great resource. Also, the Spirit-Filled Life Bible is another great resource. That's like Bible and footnote commentary combined, but then also the New Bible Commentary and then the Baker Encyclopedia. I know it's not a commentary, but it's an amazing, amazing resource. I have all of those resources on the Logos software. And then I have the actual physical Fire Bible as well as Spirit-Filled Life Bible, but Logo software, you can purchase a bunch of different commentary options. Those are my all-time favorites. I would say I do like the Bible background commentaries. There's an Old Testament Old Testament commentary and then New Testament commentary. And that kind of gives like, here's the culture of where they were, when they were, how this would have been perceived, what the Greco-Roman world was thinking at that time and how that would have played. So it's all this like background imagery to then what is happening in scripture. So those are my favorites. You got any?
I think the ones that are most helpful are either the physical books or a trusted source. I think when you Google it, it's the easiest thing to do, but I think you're going to get a lot of random things. So I'd just be wary to just Google, like, what do you think? And go to the Got Questions or Quora or whatever it is. Like, they're not bad. I just think that they're not like a...
Or somebody's random blog.
Yeah, random blog about it.
I love these resources. I know they're not like commentaries, but I love TheosU. That's a subscription model where you can listen to, dozens of classes that are really in-depth that will give you great context to a specific book of the Bible or topic. And then we've talked about this multiple times, but the Bible Project on YouTube. The Bible Project has great explanations of so many things. They've got hundreds of videos that are just at your fingertips, totally free, that you can grow in your walk with the Lord. So
one other resource I'll share, it's not a commentary, but I found this to be really helpful just in researching and just even like if you're praying for a friend or trying to find a verse, there's a tool called openbible.info.
Oh yeah.
And you can do the topical Bible and basically search any phrase or any question, and it just gives you all the verses that are related. And again, you got to use your own discernment and judgment on it, but it just is helpful because it's actually crowdsourced to like vote which ones are most helpful. And so you can just search, what does the Bible say about fear? And there's a bunch of verses about fear. And again, that's not a commentary, it's unrelated, but it just can be helpful to find some verses. And even if you're just looking for some encouragement for yourself, you can find verses, or maybe you're wondering, oh, there's that verse that I know it's in there, but I don't know where it's found. Maybe that's a great resource to just search. I know it's about fear. I know it's about, contentment or something, in openbible.info.
So. Another topical website, this is the last one I'll share, is the Gospel Coalition. That has a bunch of sermons, but you can also just search, like you mentioned, fear. You can go on there and actually search fear, and you can read sermons, listen to sermons, look at different blog posts. It has a ton of resource on just different topics that you're dealing with.
Very good. Well, last weekend we were 50 short of 9,000 people, so
we need
our podcast listeners to invite some friends next week. But God did something amazing. Hundreds getting baptized, which was incredible to see. And that is like, there's nothing that I love more in ministry than seeing people get baptized, like truly. Because even like hands raised, I mean, I love life transformation hands raised, but you never know where those people are at, and we don't diminish hands raised. But yeah. I think baptism, when people go public with their faith, it's just an incredible, incredible thing. And so as we wrap up, I want to close in prayer for people from our church. Sorry, just pulling up the requests. Kirk, any last thoughts?
No, I'm just actually looking at different attendance numbers. So Egan is in like revival right now.
Yeah.
Egan is just going crazy. I love Pastor Aaron Topp and yeah, just all that God's doing. And I can pull up some requests also on the River Valley app.
Yeah, let's pray.
Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking at the app.
You've got some prayer requests as well. Okay, so we're praying today for Lori. Pray that my mom would be healed of hypoactive delirium. She's 88 and has had this condition since she had surgery late January. It's preventing her from recovering and is posing danger to her life. So we're praying for Lori's mom, praying for Wendy. Praise God for another good night's sleep. Hey, we prayed for Wendy last week, actually, that she would get sleep.
Come on.
And so had a good night's sleep. Pray again for energy. Do work well. She felt the prayers yesterday. That's awesome. Carmel, Lord, I abide in your promises. Philippians 3:20, Deuteronomy 20. She's throwing some scripture into her prayer request.
Come on.
Walk with the Lord. Walk with courage. Darkness has no claim. Victory. I mean, she's praying in her prayer request, which I love. And then I just want to throw out again, Derek and Laura, they've got a kid and then a baby on the way. And we mentioned this on the podcast, but had the opportunity to pray over them again on Saturday at Apple Valley. But they've got a diagnosis with their baby that is on the way, that the brain is not developing. And if the baby goes full term, that, you know, the chances of life would be maybe she'll live for a week. And so need a miracle. And I'm continuing to pray every single day for this family and for this baby on the way, and just believing wholeheartedly that God is able to do a miracle reversal of that diagnosis, that the brain will develop and this baby will live a long life. And so if you would agree with me in prayer over that, any others?
I would just say, we talked about it for a while today, but if there's anyone that you have reconciliation needed in your life, we just want to pray for them as well. Pray that you would reconcile, that it wouldn't be sensationalized, it wouldn't be dramatized, but you'd say, God wants to do something in me and reconcile with people in my life who I know I have disagreement with.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our church, and I love that Pastor Logan just brought up, like, sometimes when you think you're tackling a tough issue, that maybe that'll cause our church to shrink. But Lord, I thank you that we had our largest weekend, our largest normal non-holiday weekend, at least for the last 4 years. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for life change, the people that got baptized. Lord, I just pray that they would have that memory forever, and that they would live for you forever. And I just pray that even the family and friends that don't go to our church, that aren't living for you, that visited to witness those baptisms, I pray that that would draw them toward you. And we pray over all these needs right now. I thank you that you're answering prayer in Wendy's life, Lord. And we pray for Lori's mom, who's just dealing with, I forget the diagnosis, but it seems like maybe memory loss or dementia, or it's like the decline of life at 88 years old. But God, you care about the 88 year old as much as you care about the unborn. And Lord, you're able to meet the needs of Lori's mom right now, heal her body, heal her mind in the name of Jesus. And we pray over this unborn baby right now, over Garrett and Laura, their whole family, their son. Lord, we just pray life over this baby, full healing over this brain, that it would develop and this baby would develop as normal and live a long life and have a great impact for the kingdom of God. We pray over anybody that's dealing with bitterness, unforgiveness, offense, insecurity, and is just dealing with a relational issue with somebody. It might be their family, might be friends, neighbors, coworkers, a boss. Lord, we pray that you would help people forgive, help them receive forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that bitterness would wash away. We know that bitterness cannot be compartmentalized towards one person, but it leaks into all areas of our life. And so, Lord, I just pray that that would not happen in our church, that bitterness would wash away, and you would be healing and restoring relationships. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
The king's in the room, so I'm gonna bring my best. He's ready to move. I will give nothing less. I won't miss a moment to give you everything. So I lift my hands, lift my voice and sing. How could I?
Thanks for listening to the River Valley Podcast. It would help us out a ton if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share it with somebody. We hope that this isn't just for people in our church. We hope that this is people far beyond that, but we know that people in our church maybe don't even know about it yet. We're talking about it on weekends. We're sharing it in announcements, but maybe you're a listener, but someone in your small group isn't, or someone at your campus. So would you send it to them, share it with them so that they can receive this, and then rate it wherever you listen so that more people can find this podcast.
If you have questions about faith, about church, about belief, about theology, about the Bible, please submit your questions. You can find us on Instagram at RiverValleyMN. You can also email us, finding us on our website, rivervalley.org. Please, we want to hear your questions so that we can continue to answer those or at least respond to them here on the podcast. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you in church this weekend.